It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time. Over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. Yesterday we talked to Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. As you go around the NFC East to get a little idea of where the Giants division rivals are heading into OTAs. And today we turn our sights to the Eagles. We're joined by our good buddy Dave Spadaro from PhiladelphiaEagles.com. He does a great job covering them there. Dave, what's going on, man? How are you this morning?
John, I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm happy I had a chance to talk to you, especially after you've had a chance to see Chip Kelly operate one of his off-season workouts on the field. Give me a feel for your early impressions of the Eagles' new head coach.
Fast and furious and a lot of fun. And don't know what to expect. Can't tell you that I do. But watching the practice, the media allowed to take a look on Monday, you know, it was very well orchestrated, extremely high tempo, very efficient. Obviously, the multimedia production with all the music made it ear-splitting. But, you know, it's certainly a different way to approach the game that I've, you know, than anything I've ever seen in the time that I've covered the Eagles. So leads to a lot of fun times ahead to see as this team builds its roster, rebuilds its roster, tries to get back in contention in the NFC East. You know, Chip is really pushing the players at a very high tempo.
Yeah, and what I really liked about what he decided to do with his coaching staff is he brings in Pat Shurmur, he brings in Bill Davis, two guys with a lot of NFL experience as his coordinators, and I think those guys will help him a lot transitioning his collegiate system, maybe taking out some of the things that won't work on the pro level, and adjusting it to fit his personnel in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's a really important point. It is not a group of college coaches coming in here. It's a good mix of those with some NFL experience and really being open-minded about everything from scheme to personnel to just ideas on how to make this a better football team. I think Chip is very open-minded that way and really progressive thinker. So a lot of things have changed with the Eagles organization. A couple of very down seasons, 8-8 and then 4-12, and the entire organization has kind of gone in a 180-degree opposite direction. So Chip has experience around him, and I think that was very, as he said, really important that he bring in coaches with NFL experience as his coordinators.
I know we're very early in the process here, but do you have any type of feel of how this is going to feel, this offense? Is it going to be more like a collegiate offense? Is it going to be a little bit more of a hybrid thing like the Redskins do? Or is he really going to transform his scheme, not necessarily his tempo and his methods?
Yeah, I think it's a little too early. I mean, you know, when you say a college offense, I think the NFL these days is borrowing fast and furiously from the college game. So
no question.
I think there could be all of the above. I don't think that they lack for weapons. I think there's some playmakers here. You want to get the ball out. You want to get the players in space. You want to take advantage of matchups. They go out and they sign a tight end, James Casey, in free agency, and then draft Zach Ertz second round. So all of a sudden there's these big athletic tight ends here. So what component is that in the offense? There's, you know, you go out and sign Felix Jones in free agency, and while he's not coming in as your number one back, he's a very talented player. How does he fit in? What does that mean? Are they going to run the ball more? Who's the quarterback going to be? So many questions, John. I just don't know yet. And I've only seen a very small sliver of what Chip's doing on the field.
You mentioned earlier trying to rebuild the roster, but it's funny, at least on the offensive side of the ball, and I'll start there first. If the offensive line stays healthy, you know, that was a major weakness for the Eagles last year. But if you move Harriman's back at guard, You know, if the other guard and center stay healthy, you get Peters back, you have Lane Johnson on one end. I mean, this offensive line could be a big-time strength for the Eagles this year if the guys stay healthy.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about it. And I think when you have a great offensive line, which potentially the Eagles will, then you can do a lot of things with it. Whether your scheme is a throwback scheme or a cutting-edge scheme, it doesn't matter. You win the battle at the line of scrimmage, you're in great shape. And that's the idea by drafting Lane Johnson, by hoping that the players injured last year come back healthy. Jason Peters looks great so far, left tackle. Eagles think he's the best in the game. If you can solidify things up front and take it even a step further, you can really score some points. And, John, look, I mean, there's been so much change to the defense that we have no idea what to expect on that side. Well, the Eagles, look, the offense is going to have to be very efficient. It's going to have to be much more effective in the red zone. They're going to have to establish short yardage. I think right now when you look at it, I think the offense kind of leads the way here.
Yeah, it's funny. Off-season, you know, practices, even training camp practice after a while, they can get repetitive. They can get boring. But I got to imagine with this competition you guys have set up at quarterback, you're going to be watching every single second, and this whole offseason is going to be really fascinating seeing them decide what direction they want to go in at quarterback and with this offense.
Yeah, you know, and hopefully somebody establishes himself as the number one very early. I don't think you want to go into late in the preseason still wondering whether it's going to be Michael Vick or Nick Foles or Matt Barkley or what have you. Generally, the teams that win this league have their starting quarterback established. He's on the field for 16 games, and you're winning games. I mean, the Giants certainly an example of that with Eli. But at this point, yeah, how does Michael Vick fit in? Where is Nick Foles in the process? Is Matt Barkley a player who, had he come out in the draft 2 years ago, would have been a top 10 pick? Preseason games are going to be really, really interesting to watch.
You know, it's funny. I have some media reports out there said, you know, Foles, not a Chip Kelly type of guy, not a big fan. Is that just rumbling, or is there any truth to some of those reports that are out there?
I think that rumbling all changed when Matt Barkley was drafted in the fourth round. You know, he's not an athletic, running, mobile kind of quarterback. He's more of a traditional drop back in the pocket and throw the football quarterback. So watching practice on Monday, they obviously show you only a little bit, but there's certainly a component of dropping back. And you've got to throw the football and be effective in this offense and in the NFL. It's not all spread the field and get to the edges and run pass options. So they really do believe Nick and Matt and Dennis Dixon and Michael Vick, for that matter, can fit into the offense. I think, as Chip has said many times, it is an equal opportunity offense. He doesn't care if he runs it across the goal line or they throw it across the goal line, but you have to have the ability to do both. And I think they've set themselves up at the skill positions and along the offensive line to have both components effective.
You know, both the Eagles and the Cowboys had a veteran tight end in-house and that did an excellent job. Yet they both drafted tight end in the second round. Clay Harbor's back, who was a pretty effective last year. You mentioned the other tight end they brought in free agency. Are the Eagles going to play more of a 12 offense type of system? Is the days of the fullback being on the field for the Eagles? Not that he was on the field a lot before.
No, he's gone.
Is it over?
There won't be a fullback on this. I don't think there'll be a fullback on this roster.
Right.
So Casey lines up in a move position, sometimes at fullback, sometimes at the line of scrimmage, sometimes displaced, sometimes as an H-back. He's the player who moves around the formation. But I think they made it pretty clear that they are not going to have a fullback on this team.
Interesting. And, you know, the NFL is going more and more towards two tight ends. I think you're going to see that a lot in the NFC East this year now.
Yeah, it's interesting how the offensive tendencies change so quickly. They want to have as much athletic ability on the field as possible. Thus, you replace a fullback with a tight end, and you can really create better matchups that way and still run out of that formation and still run out of that personnel package. So the Eagles have loaded up at the tight end position. I think they're very talented there, and we'll see how it all works out.
All right, let's flip to the defense. Do you even know yet, 4-3, 3-4? Is this team definitely going to be a 4-3 team at this point?
You know, they've talked, John, about being a hybrid and showing a lot of 3-4 and a lot of 4-3. And as they've explained it, that's really the trend in the NFL. That's what teams are doing there. When you go to passing packages, pass rushing packages, you're bringing perhaps extra linebackers on the field to get to the quarterback. And so I don't know. One of the many questions here. I don't know ultimately what this defense will be known for. Blitz. I mean, I know they want to pressure. obviously, young group in the defensive backfield, a lot of changes. They want to create pressure from the front seven, whether that's 4-3, 3-4. I don't think it really matters to them, but I think they will show a lot of different looks.
Well, you know, Chip Kelly worked a lot with Bill Belichick, and the Patriots always swap right between the two, so I'm sure he picked up a lot of that stuff there. And you mentioned the defensive line, always very deep. The Eagles played a lot of guys in the defensive line traditionally, but a little bit of a changing of the guard at tackle with Fletcher Cox. They draft Logan this year, starting to get a little bit younger on that defensive line.
But at the same time, they signed Isaac Sobowaga from the San Francisco 49ers, big space eater, 32 years old, somebody who is a great leader, great enthusiasm for the game, anchor at the defensive line position. So in a 3-4, he would be the nose tackle. 4-3, he would play as one of the interior defensive linemen. They are trying to get younger. They brought in an entirely new secondary. They brought in Connor Barwin, free agency, to help as a strong side linebacker. So, you know, this defense gave up 33 touchdown passes last year. You saw it at the end of the season, the final game of the year. I mean, this is a beaten-down defense, very little enthusiasm, not physical enough. Eagles have changed the whole mentality on defense.
You know, I realize that Trent Cole did get a lot of sacks last year, but if you look at his pass pressures, they're still high. A, I'm not sure why people are trying to put him out the pasture so soon. And two, who are the Eagles going to start a defensive end across from Trent Cole?
Well, I think one of the things that people look at with defensive linemen is, and you're always concerned with a very, especially pass rushers, a very quick fall off the cliff in performance. And so the alarms were sounded last year when Trent's numbers went down so significantly. And they're trying to create some opportunities for him to work in space and not be engaged with two or three pass blockers and get him unlocked and get him to the quarterback. He is vital for this team to get to the quarterback. Who else joins him as a pass rusher? Barwin has had some success. Brandon Graham, they're still hoping that he emerges. Vinnie Curry, a second-round draft pick last year, they hope that he can come through. They used a bunch of late-round draft picks on defensive linemen. So, again, you know, there isn't that go-to pass rusher who you know is going to give you double-digit sacks.
You know,
I think that's one of the reasons there's so many questions about the defense.
You know, you mentioned Graham. I forgot. He had a great end to the season last year. It really did start to emerge. I want to jump to safety real quick. You mentioned the secondary gave a ton of touchdown passes. They seem to have some talent there. Nate Allen's been great when he's healthy. Chung's had some big games when he's been healthy. Kenny Phillips when he's healthy. We know about their skills. The Eagles seem to think that they're going to get enough games out of those three guys to patch together a position back there.
That, and they drafted Earl Wolfe in the fifth round of the draft. They like him a lot from North Carolina State. But, yeah, Kenny Phillips, can he stay healthy? Patrick Chung, is he over the nagging injuries that plagued him in New England? Key players, no doubt. Safety, an area that was really not productive for the Eagles for much of last season, particularly in the red zone. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, clearly they didn't go out and say, Kenny Phillips, here's the keys to the city. It's a one-year deal. Prove yourself. Let's see if you can stay healthy and make some plays.
And talk about rebuilding a position group. The cornerback group is very, very different than it was last year. Kerry Williams being the biggest addition. Bradley Fletcher, obviously. Brandon Boykin back after his rookie year. How do you break down what the Eagles have at corner?
I think they have two players who I'm very intrigued by, Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher. Williams played very well last year with the Ravens. Helped them win the Super Bowl, knows how to play in big pressure moments, really looks forward to his opportunity of kind of being the man. Fletcher statistically did a really good job in St. Louis. I don't know why he wasn't playing a lot there, so Eagles feel like he'll emerge. Brandon Boykin, a slot cornerback, has done a nice job. But, you know, young, Brandon Hughes behind them, Curtis Marsh, a third-year player who hasn't gotten a lot of time. Part of that major question mark, and that is the entire Eagles secondary. If you look at where this team is, you know, how can the Eagles cobble together a productive group at the cornerback and safety positions? That's really the key to this whole defense.
Yeah, very interesting. It's funny, you know, the last few years, the questions of the Eagles, a lot of it has been, are they going to find anybody to play linebacker? Now you guys seem to be fairly set there with Kendricks, who had a pretty productive rookie year, and D'Amico Ryans at middle linebacker is at least a good first and second down run stopper.
Yes, and again, Barwin comes in and helps out. There's some other players that you look at and you hope emerge a bit. But, John, the reality is, you know, the Eagles are going to have as many as 7, 8 maybe,
wow,
different starters on defense this year. And so it's very hard to project.
Yeah.
You know, you have to build the chemistry. You've got to get everybody on the same page, new coaching staff. A little bit of a work in progress on that side of the ball, no question.
All right, big picture. We know the Philadelphia Eagle fan base can be fickle, much like New York. It's a very tough place to play, especially if you don't have success right away. Has the fan base bought into Chip Kelly and what they're trying to do, hook, line, and sinker, or are they still a little skeptical?
No, I think they've really backed Chip very nicely. I mean, Chip's been great with the media, with the fans. He's been great with the organization. There's a long road back when you're 4-12. And nobody's pretending like you can just wave a magic wand and make it all right. Eagles, they're hoping that they've built something with the last couple of drafts, that they've added some solid physical players in free agency. And then we'll see what happens in an NFC East that I look at as wide open. So the Eagles, I mean, at one point last year, the Eagles were 3-1, having beaten the Giants, leading the Pittsburgh Steelers late in the fourth quarter, lose that game. Leading the Detroit Lions by 10 points late in the fourth quarter, lose that game. Imagine if that team had gone to 5-1,
yeah,
a win over the Baltimore. So, you know, there's pieces that need to come together. There's great optimism. I think the fans are extremely excited about Chip Kelly, about what they've seen from him and his coaching staff and the organization so far. But at the same time, an understanding that, you know, a long way to go to get back to the top of the NFC.
All right, final question. Dave Spadaro from PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I know you don't have much evidence or, you know, practice to back up this opinion, but your gut feeling, who's starting a quarterback week one for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Boy, how about Michael Foles? I don't know. I don't know. You know, Chip's even gone to the point, they've been pretty equal in their reps with the first team offense. I don't have a gut yet. It's just too early. I don't want to go out and put something out there, and I don't have the feeling yet. It's going to be determined based on how they progress through these practice situations and then how they play in the preseason games.
Dave.
There's just no way to know right now.
Dave, great stuff, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, John. Thank you. Take care.
Dave Spadaro, PhiladelphiaEagles.com, does a great job. We thank him for joining us this morning on Big Blue Kickoff. Does a great job. And, it's funny. I was looking at this Eagles roster. I'm going to get to your calls in just a second. Bill in Jersey's been holding, and I appreciate that. But the Eagles aren't that far away. Look, their defensive secondary is a mess. And when I say mess, I mean a mess. I mean, you heard Dave talk about it. It's a nightmare. It's not good. But their offense, if that offensive line stays healthy, with Mathis, Kelsey, Hermans, Lane Johnson, and Peters, that might be the best offensive line in the division if those guys stay healthy. It's good. If DeSean Jackson and Macklin are healthy, with those tight ends and throwing Jason Avant, weapons, LeSean McCoy, Bryce Brown showed something last year, and then throwing Felix Jones, who I don't think has a lot left, but he's still around. And then if he could figure out something at quarterback, I'm telling you, this Eagles offense could be pretty ridiculous, especially if Chip Kelly catches the NFL by surprise with a lot of his stuff on offense. I'll tell you. I thought the Eagles would have a down year, but really studying their roster, especially offensively, not that far away, folks. If they can figure out a way to hide that secondary a little bit, and I like their front seven, Eagles going to be right there. You can check out Factor Fiction, too, by the way. We talk a little bit about the NFC East in that. That's coming up in a couple days. 201-939-4513. Billy's in Jersey. Bill, what's going on, pal? Thanks for holding.
Hey, John, thanks for taking my call, man. Love the stuff.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
You know, you just touched on the Eagles' offense and on how they're really a stable squad as long as they get settled at quarterback. And I was just wondering what your thoughts were. You know, we saw the Giants struggle against a unique offense last year with the Redskins in the division in RG3. What do you think Chip Kelly's going to bring to the table? And do you think the Giants are going to be able to prepare for their two games against them this year?
Well, luckily the Giants don't play the Eagles till week 5. So they'll have 4 games of game tape that they can watch, and that's not even including the preseason, to get a feel for what Chip Kelly's going to do. However, I do think there's going to be a factor here early in the season where the NFL has to adjust to Chip Kelly more than Chip Kelly adjusted to the NFL. To me, what's going to happen here, Chip Kelly's going to come in, he's going to do something pretty funky, pretty new, and he's going to have success with it. The NFL is going to adjust to him, And then we'll see if Chip Culley can adjust back to the NFL and continue his success. So I think it's good that the Giants will have four games of game tape to watch before that game. But I think that Eagles offense is going to be a very, very, very tough unit to deal with. They have a lot of depth, so if they run that high-paced stuff, they can sub guys in and out a lot with all the tight ends, the depth at wide receiver, three running backs. They can always have fresh guys on the field. I think it's a very, very interesting situation. And you know what? I said this to Dave at the start of the interview. You know, watching all these OTAs and mini camp and then training camp and the same thing over and over again. Look, I'm not learning anything new about Eli Manning. I'm not learning anything new about Victor Cruz or Akeem Nicks. You're just not. But if you're watching the Eagles, everything's new. It's going to be a fascinating thing to watch down there in Eagles camp this summer.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, I'm a huge Giants fan, but I love Chip Kelly and what he did in Oregon, so yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing what he brings to the NFL.
Yeah, me too, Bill. I appreciate the call. Thanks, man.
Take care, John.
Hey, you take it easy. I'm telling you, it's going to be fun. Do we know what the Eagles have week one? Let me take a look at the Eagles schedule here. And if you looked at the Eagles schedule, it's actually probably, I think, early in the season, if I recall, and I'll bring it up here, I think the Eagles had a very early schedule, easy schedule earlier in the year, and then second half of the year, it becomes a little rough, for lack of a better word. But let's take a peek here at the Eagles' schedule. All right, they start off the season at Washington. We'll see if RG3 is back for that game, but that should be a heck of a lot of fun. And that is Monday night. So how about that? The two NFC East games, Sunday night and Monday night, week one. Now, ESPN's rolling the dice there. Because if RG3's not back, they're going to be stuck. You could have a Nick Foles and Redskins backup quarterback. Help me out. Huh? Oh, Kirk Cousins. That's right. Matchup on Monday Night Football. Not exactly what they signed up for. But, again, that's also the week where I think they have the two Monday night games, right? The one at 7 and the one at, like, 10. Or something like that. So that's the early game. Eagles at Redskins. So they start the season at Redskins, Chargers, Chiefs, at Broncos, and then it gets rough. At Giants, Bucks, Cowboys, Giants. And they play basically the NFC North. That's funny. Out of the Eagles' last five games, only one is a division game against the Dallas Cowboys. They are done with their division games except for that one Cowboy game, which is the last week of the season in Dallas in week 11. From December 1st, they have a late bye, week 12. That's got to be Thanksgiving, right? Or is it a week after Thanksgiving, November 29th? It's probably the week after, right? So the week before Thanksgiving is Eagles bye. Then they wrap up with the Cardinals and Lions at home, at Vikings, home versus Bears, at Dallas. And that schedule is not easy either. The whole NFC East, let's be honest, there's not many soft landing places in the NFC in general these days. Think about it. Go through the divisions. NFC East, you could have four teams with 8 or 9 games. NFC North, I could see every one of those teams making the playoffs, including the Lions, who I realize were a top-5 pick this year, and so were the Eagles. Both those teams I could see bouncing back. The South doesn't have a weak landing spot. Panthers could make the playoffs. I wouldn't be shocked if they did. Will they? I don't know, but they could win 8 games. We know about the Saints and their offense. Falcons are an excellent football team. The Bucs almost made the playoffs last year. They're up and coming. And then out West, if the Cardinals, get something out of Carson Palmer, they could be decent. The Rams are getting better. And then you have the Niners and the Seahawks. I mean, you don't have any Cleveland Browns or Buffalo Bills in the NFC. You just don't. You don't have any Tennessee Titans. You don't have any Oakland Raiders. You don't have any New York Jets. And it has to do with the quarterbacks. Think of the quarterback scenarios in the NFC and who they have playing quarterback. If the Eagles figure that out, Romo, Eli Manning, Robert Griffin III. Pretty darn good, right? NFC North. Vikings, problematic. But you have Adrian Peterson, so he kind of makes up for that a little bit. Elsewhere in the North, Matthew Stafford. Pretty darn good. Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, he's pretty darn good, too. Jay Cutler. Yeah, he's good. South, Freeman. Good young quarterback. Breeze, excellent. Cam Newton, enough said. I mean, Drew Brees, Hall of Famer. Out West, Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, Sam Bradford, number 1 overall pick, Carson Palmer, not great anymore, but he's still a pro. You don't have any really soft quarterback spots in the NFC. You just don't. All these guys can play a little bit, if not be really good. But in the AFC, it's a little bit different. You know, the Raiders, what do they have at quarterback? You're excited about Alex Smith in Kansas City? He's fine. I mean, the Titans, who knows what they have? Who knows what the Jaguars? Oh, I forgot the Jaguars. They're terrible, too. You know what the Jaguars have at quarterback at that position? I mean, the Browns are still trying to figure out what they have at quarterback. I mean, it's a mess in some of those AFC teams. But the NFC, I'm telling you, top to bottom in terms of depth, there are no soft spots anymore. There really aren't. These guys can play. And the Giants are going to have a tough time of it. Every team in the NFC is going to have a tough time of it. I don't know if any team's winning 13 games this year. I think the best record in the NFC is going to win 12. And it's probably going to be coming out of the NFC West with the 49ers. I just think they're excellent. But then, you know, the Packers, they have flaws, but they can score. I mean, not going to be easy going to the NFC this year, folks. They're good. The whole conference, top to bottom, they're excellent. They really are. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We'll see if I don't even check the Giants Chat yesterday when we had Mickey Spagnuolo on Cowboys.com. Let's see what we got here. Here we go. From Giants LB 56. Eagles and Kelly kind of scare me. Not sure what they'll look like. I agree. Joe, the Giants fans, I think high tempo Eagles is just a myth until proven. Remember the dream team. Well, Joe, what I'll say is this. You can be up tempo. Doesn't mean you're going to be good. You can't be up-tempo and bad. You can run a lot of plays and not be very effective. So if Chip Kelly, Joe, wants to be fast and, you know, run no huddle and all that stuff, they'll do it. Whether they'll be good at it or not is another story. That has a lot to do with Michael Vick and the quarterback situation. Marcus Erickson, do you think the Giants will put extra emphasis on conditioning to match the high-tempo Eagles? Most likely will run. Well, look, the Giants work on conditioning no matter what. And they'll probably tell you they work as hard on conditioning as they can now. So I doubt they'll do anything extra because they already pushed the guys pretty hard. And this is going back to yesterday. Mike Farmer makes a good point on the Cowboys. Dallas has a lot of holes to fill before the start of the season. And I thought it was interesting, too, and I didn't bring this up with Mickey Spagnuolo yesterday. He said the Cowboys didn't view Pugh as having a lot of position flex as when the Giants did. So I didn't really get into detail with that. Maybe the Cowboys saw him as more of a guard because of the short arms, or maybe they saw him as a tackle. But I thought that was interesting. Good point. So there you go. Everybody, good job on the phones today. Thank you to Dave Spurdoff for joining us. Tomorrow, we turn our focus to the Redskins. Lots to talk about with them. And then the OTA start next week, and we'll start getting down and dirty with that. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We appreciate it. See you tomorrow morning. Big Blue Kickoff, 10 a.m. right here on Giants.com. Be there.